Hello and welcome to Live the Grasp. I'm Brian Naylor and I'm joined on the line by Mike Rifo. On today's pod, we're going to be recapping the Week 14 NFL slate. What's going on, dude?
Not much. I don't know. I know that we talk about wives. We both have one and sometimes the sharpest tool in the shed. But
here we go. I've never said any of this.
Okay, well, we're not going to get into that. Anyways, but so last night, my wife decided to throw away a utensil that I use all the time. Like they're all it is it's a grill like set of tongs or whatever you want to use. And right. I every time I grill it, I use that thing. I love that. She threw it away without even asking me. She's like, it was broken. I was like, how is it broken? She's like, well, there are little rubber things that, you know, you don't want to burn your hand on. I was like, that doesn't mean that it still serves a purpose. As long as it's not like in direct heat, it's fine. It doesn't matter. You should not be touching or at least throwing things that I use on almost a weekly basis away without asking me. That is,
does she ever use it?
Never. Never.
She never uses it.
But that's the point. The point is that I was astonished when I saw it in the trash. And she's like, well, I'll just clean it off. I'm like, no. You've ruined my life. You've ruined it. Okay. Like, oh, well, okay, yes. She could have pulled it out of the trash.
The pendulum has swung.
But I was just in such awe that she actually threw it away without asking. Like I'm so going to throw something of hers away in the trash and without asking her. And she's going to be like, where it is? And I'm going, oh, I threw it away. It was
her
broken.
Wedding ring.
Well, no, I mean, you know what? I'll pawn that. There you go. You weren't using it. But right, yeah, other than that, I'm having an all right day.
All right. So wife throws away your favorite tongs. They rest on top of the trash can. And unlike a real man, you just let it continue to be thrown away. Got it. Recapped it. All right. Into the slate. So we have the first game at the top. So just to recap how we're going to be doing this, we both make 5 picks every week at the spread or over unders. And then when we go to the recaps on Sundays, we're going to be recapping our own picks. So I'm going to start off because mine was the Thursday night game, New England at the Rams. I took the under 43.5, and that was a winner. We were updating it live as we were recording the pod, but Rams go on to win 24-3. When I was kind of making my case for the under, I said that I felt like Cam was going to control the ball, and I felt like that was going to take away a bunch of time on the clock. And I was right, but I was right about the wrong Cam. Cam Akers stole the show for the Rams, not Cam Newton for the Patriots. Cam Akers had 29 carries for 171 yards. Cam that I was talking up initially only passed for 119 yards. And for anybody keeping track, that is 272 yards in the last 3 games combined. So I don't know what the Patriots are doing as far as their quarterback situation, but it's a hard under. It lands at 27. I took the under 43.5.
So well, Billy Belichick is still claiming it's his team. So I don't know if it'll be his team next year as of right now.
I think no chance.
Yeah. I don't know. If you're New England, who do you pick up? I don't know. Will you pick up somebody like Wentz?
I feel like they would pick up, what do you think is going to be going on for the Bears next year with this Foles situation, with Foles and Trubisky? Trubisky, you know, say whatever you want about Trubisky. The running game blows up when he plays because he's a running threat himself. So they got to figure something out because Foles didn't do anything for them. I mean,
I wouldn't. I mean, if I'm New England, I would go after Wentz. I mean, that's going to be one of the
Yeah, but he's guys. Like $25 million a year.
Yeah, it's but he's a proven guy in and out. This year, I don't know what's going on with him, but I would go after Wentz. Foles, I don't know. You really would think they would go after Foles?
I would take Foles over Wentz. This depends. So if New England all of a sudden got some weapons,
yeah, they need weapons. I'll give you that.
I'd probably prefer Wentz. But Wentz just hangs onto the ball too long. So if they're going to have these like crap wide receivers like they've had for the last 15 years, like I don't want Wentz as my quarterback.
Well, they have a better, not a much better line, but they have a little bit better of a line than Philly. I mean, Philly's main reason why they're not playing well is because their offensive line is poo right now. So, I mean, Hurts played well, but I mean, he's mobile. We'll see.
All right, on to the next game. We have the Minnesota Vikings at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Actually, both of us had this pick, and this too was a winner. The line was Tampa Bay -6.5, and Tampa Bay goes on to win by 12, 26-14. I think this was the Dan Bailey bagel game. So Dan
Bagel
Bailey,
game. God.
It's a bagel. He attempted four kicks in this game, an extra point and three field goals. Missed everything. Just might as well have had me out there. And unfortunately, the dagger was the field position that he gave up. So the two field goals he missed first, a 36 and 54 yarder, immediately turned into two Tampa Bay touchdowns going the other way. And then the last one was a 46 yard field goal that he missed that turned into a field goal for Tampa Bay. So Brady kind of did, you know, enough to win 15 out of 23 for 196 and two touchdowns, no turnovers. And I will say that Cook, man, I kind of went into this game fading Cook, thinking Tampa Bay had the number one rush defense, and Cook still 22 carries, 102 yards, one touchdown. I still think he kind of showed out. He's a monster.
Yeah, no, that was one of the points I was going to make. I mean, I was a little off on that. Like you said, Cook did have a really pretty good game. I did think the other side of that Cousins was going to need to throw the ball more. But they've given up, what did I say, like 8 sacks in the last 3 games. They gave up six sacks this time for 52 yards. Just ouch. And I mean, I will say we were semi-lucky on this. I mean, they were first in goal, and Cousins gets sacked on second and third down, push the field goal out, and Bailey does his thing. It's just like, oh, we'll just go right here.
Bagel.
Yeah, bagels. Okay, whatever. But I mean, anyways, and then, you know, Vikings time of possession, 39 minutes to the Bucks 20, and they can't cover. So I mean, like, if you were on the other side, it's probably not a good day because of some of these stats. And I mean, if you had a Bailey jersey, yeah, it's probably in the fireplace at this point. So
oh yeah,
it should be getting he's still the kicker for the, like, I'm shocked he hasn't been let go.
It's only Monday.
yeah, true. I mean, there's a lot of time left, but I mean, that would have been the first thing I do walking out of the locker room. Who can we get on as a kicker this late in this season? But yeah, no,
we have an update later in the recap on a similar situation. All right, so
talking about,
I'll tell you. On to the next game, Tennessee at Jacksonville. So I took the over here at 52.5. I thought this was going to be similar to their battle earlier in the year, where the total was 63, I believe. I think it was 33-30. Henry dominated, 26 carries, 215 yards, two touchdowns. Jags started the game with a missed field goal and then three straight punts. Mike Glennon got hurt and Gardner Minshew went in, but he didn't really do anything. He got a touchdown late. So Jacksonville just didn't put up enough points to make it interesting. It was 31-10. So this actually went under. So this is a miss for me. Any comments here?
No, I mean, Tennessee dominated them. I didn't think, I actually thought you were going to hit it, but unfortunately not the case. But yeah, I'll move on to my next one. I had
Real quick, it does lock in my season under, though. They are 1-12 with 3 games remaining, and I had them under 4.5. So right now the best they can do is 4-12. So yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a winner. But anyway, so yeah, I chose KC -7 at Miami. I mean, this is, it's a tough one to swallow. The Chiefs were up by like 20 points going into the fourth quarter, and KC driving, and then Mahomes gets an interception, a third interception. That was actually a very impressive interception by Miami, but I thought that I thought that Tua wasn't going to have a great game. He really didn't. 28 for 48, 316 yards, two TDs, one interception, four sacks. You think Miami's one of the better teams in the AFC, but with Mahomes throwing three interceptions and Miami really having to get two late touchdowns in the fourth quarter to make it semi-interesting, Casey's the scary team, obviously, in the AFC, and I really don't see anyone really being competitive. Maybe the Bills, but yeah, I lost this one by 1 point. It is what it is. I thought it was a no-brainer that I was going to win it at the beginning of the fourth. Then they sneak in a field goal, Casey does, and then Miami needs two scores, so they have to get to the 30, spike it, do a field goal, and then an onside kick. So it is what it is. I'm not going to cry over sour milk, spilled milk?
Spilled milk.
Sour and spilled milk. But yeah, just off by one. What are you going to do?
Yeah. The only other note here is that it's the first time Mahomes has thrown three picks in a game in his professional career. And it's pretty funny that even in arguably the worst game of his professional career, he still wins. It's just their team is just insane.
I saw a stat. He's like 9-4 when his team is down at 1 point by 10 points. Like the next best is Tim Tebow, and he's like 3-6. It's just, it's insane that,
and he had God on his team.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where I saw that stat, like, oh my God, that's just when you know you're doing it right. So we'll see.
All right. I think you got the next one too. The Indy Vegas.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, Indy at Las Vegas. I did, over 50.5. I mean, there's not much on this. Both defenses have been giving up, points in bunches. In the last three games, you know, they had Vegas given up 35 points in the 32 points. I mean, just when you're right, you're right. They had 34 points in the first half, ended it at like plus 60. So the over at 50.5 was easily done. And T.Y. Hilton did have a pretty good game, five receptions, 86 yards, two touchdowns. So, yeah, I just felt like that was a easy spot, that was just not enough points. It needed to be in the mid 50s.
Jonathan Taylor blew up too. 20 carries, 150 yards, and two touchdowns, and kicking me out of the fantasy playoffs in one of our leagues.
I wasn't going to bring up fantasy football, but do you want to tell our listeners your debacle as far as our league goes?
What? Choosing?
I mean, you could have. You get to choose any team between 5 and 8. And yep. I think you would have beaten three of the four, but you chose that infamous.
Is that right?
I think so.
I thought I'd only beaten two. I thought I would have only beaten two of the people in the playoffs. Period.
No, I don't think it was that bad. I could be wrong.
This needs a live stat check. Here.
Either way, I mean, you should have listened to me. I told you the team that I was picking was going to be the worst team, and what did I do? I ended up destroying it. Only beaten by 100 points.
Well, yeah, but your score has nothing to do with mine. Yeah, so the tallies in the league are 103, 105, 127, 92, 140. The guy you played has 73 with somebody playing tonight. 125, 78. I have 73 points.
With two playing.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins, who's broken 10 points like once all year, and Mark Andrews.
Yeah, so you're going to beat...
Who's coming off of COVID?
You're going to beat Moops, you would beat Zeke, and you'd beat Rab.
Yeah, we'll see. 20 points. We'll recap this, the hypothetical. I don't really care about this league this year. I care about this league. I hate my team. My team sucked all year, so... I'm tired of the injuries. I'm tired of the toying around with coming off of IRs and not. But you're right. You were right. I probably would have beaten Rab, and he was the guy that. What sucks is that what I didn't tell you is I originally wrote that email and I had Rab's name in there because I kept tossing back and forth because I felt like those were going to be the bottom two. Now, to be completely fair, the only real reason Pat's going to beat me is because of Jonathan Jonathan Taylor's blowout performance. Everybody else on, you know, I chose the right game for to play Mahomes. Mahomes had 22 points in this league. Gurley had four, like go all the way down his lineup. He had one other guy play well, AJ Brown, but I had Henry. So I feel the real tilt was him getting 30 points from Taylor. But anyways,
you chose wrong, my friend.
I did choose wrong. All right, on to the next game. So the New York Jets, this one, am I jumping one? No. So the next game was the over-under for the New York Jets at Seattle Seahawks. So the over-under was 47.5, and we actually split this one. I like the under, you like the over. And it was an under. So that's I take this one, and you lose this one. This game was pretty funny for us to be split on. So Seattle goes on to win 40-3. So it's not under by a mile. And the Jets missed three field goals, and they did what Minnesota should have done. So the Jets, Sergio Castillo, kicked three field goals on Sunday and was handed a pink slip today as they picked up Chase, as the Jets claimed Chase McLaurin off waivers from the Jags. So Sergio Castillo, he gone. But nothing really major here. Jets kind of did what they do. 185 total yards, so that was hot trash. Pete Carroll said in the post game, he doesn't remember the last time he's done this, but he went early in the third quarter to the backup quarterback to say that he was going to be going into the game for Russ. Russ had four touchdowns with about 3 minutes left in the third when they were up 37-3. It was a rare blowout win for the Seahawks. It was the first time they won by 14 plus points in the last two seasons. And it's Seattle's biggest victory since a 58-0 win against Arizona in 2012 in Russ's rookie season. But that's all I got. You got anything?
Yeah, I actually was feeling pretty good going into the fourth quarter, 37-3. And then Pete Carroll just decides to square me up and kick me right in the nuts and puts in Geno Smith in. Geno Smith, zero chance that guy was going to do anything in that game. Yeah, kicking the nuts. I was just like, of course, BJ would actually get that, but whatever.
So that's a winner for me. On to the next game.
I did say that I wasn't sure if the Jets were going to score enough. I was right on that. I was just wrong on the bet.
Yeah, it'd be an argument for the under then.
Well, I mean, they've been scoring.
That's a great argument for the under, and then you take the over. It's the classic.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that they've been scoring over 20 points a game the last four games. They're going up against a very, very suspect Seattle defense. You can't throw one goddamn slant pass that goes the distance. F you, Jets. Moving on.
So the next game for me and the last game for me is the Atlanta Falcons at the Chargers. I don't have a lot here. I like the Chargers -2. I think they're a little underrated just because of when they made their coaching change and that they've played New Orleans twice in that time span. But this game didn't go. It wasn't any closer to proving any of my points. Atlanta threw three picks in the game, or not Atlanta. Matt Ryan threw three picks in the game. He was picked on the 6 and the 22 and the 45. So basically two red zone interceptions. And the last interception, the one at the 45, the one that you would argue would hurt them the least, actually was with 30 seconds left in the game. So it gave the other team great field position for Herbert to go down and lead his team for like 30 yards to kick a field goal. So they lose.
That was a pretty big dagger, man.
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
Do you think Matt Ryan actually stays in Atlanta?
That's a great question. What's funny is, like, I'd be curious to poll the people in Atlanta. Are you happy with a decade of Matt Ryan? Who's saying yes?
I think he's had some. I mean, wasn't he an MVP candidate at one point?
I thought he won the MVP one year.
He may have, actually. It was a while ago, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he won it in like 16.
I don't know. I hear there's an opening in New England. but I don't think he'd do well in the cold, though.
Oh, I'm all over it. Yeah, Matt Ryan had it in 16. Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's one of those things. He's one of those guys that can make them competitive, but he's not consistent enough, especially at this stage of his career, to go out there and inspire any kind of hope. So he's gonna get you a couple wins a year to keep you away from like the top four, you know, top three quarterbacks or whatever every year in the draft. But he's also
remember they've had some, I mean, crap situations. I mean, that team at the beginning of the season were losing games that, I mean, just heartbreaking games to lose. Not his fault whatsoever. So, yeah.
I mean, he threw three picks in this game, and they lose in heartbreaking fashion. So I would say that this very much was his fault.
Okay, one game.
Yeah, their schedule was, they played Seattle, lost 38-25. They played Dallas, they lost 40-39. Then they lost to the Bears, 30-26. Then they lost to the Packers, 30-16. Then they lost to the Panthers.
Yeah, it was the Bears.
23-16. So they were 0-5 with, what, three of those being one possession games?
Well, I mean, the Cowboys was that freak onside kick. The Bears was the one where what's his nut runs into the end zone instead of just I think maybe that was the Dallas game. But there was another thing in the Bears game that the Falcons did that just absolutely just crushed their souls that game. And then they get destroyed by the Packers. But yeah, I mean, the Falcons, I don't know. I think defensively they have a lot of problems too, but I don't know. I mean, there's been whispers of Matt Ryan not being the quarterback next year, I think, but we'll see. My last game. Are we on the last game? Yeah, last game. Yeah. Washington football team at San Francisco. I chose them at +3.5. You know, kind of unfortunate for 49er fans. Debo Samuel goes down in the first play of the 49ers with a pulled hamstring, killed me on fantasy football. That just a dagger. When you have a player in your playoffs just go down the first play, it's just awfulness. But I mean, Washington's defense was the key to this game, obviously. Defensive line was huge. Big fumble recovery for a TD to end the first half. Huge interception for a TD at the end of the third quarter. They had four sacks for 24 yards. I mean, Mullins just didn't look comfortable back there. They were on him all game. It was a little concerning with Alex Smith, him going down with an injury. So they had Haskins come in, but he didn't make any major mistakes. As I said on Thursday, I was shocked that San Francisco was actually favored in this game. If anything, I thought it should have been closer to a pick 'em just because Washington's defense is legit. That all said, though, looking ahead to next week's lines, San Francisco is a team I'm looking at this week. They're playing Dallas, and they're less than a field goal favorite. Dallas did destroy a Cincy team, but the 49ers have a much better defense. I actually like San Francisco in that game, but we'll wait until later on in the week to talk about it. Maybe
Hold on real quick. Any other notes on any of the other games? So just some quick hitters. David Montgomery is coming alive. He's averaging about 140 all purpose yards a game and a touchdown over the last three games for Chicago. Murray looked like he was kind of back this week. He had 13 carries. That was a big pop up from his like five carries in this post shoulder injury range. And Jalen Hurts started for Philadelphia, and they go on to beat New Orleans. That's kind of all I had from the rest of the slate. You got anything else?
Yay, Dallas won. No, I mean, I will say, looking ahead at some of these games, I like this upcoming slate a lot more than this past week's slate. So definitely tune in. I think we got some vinas.
Nice. And don't forget about the holiday show coming in.
I'm actually really excited about the holiday show.
Holiday show is going to be a lot of fun. So that's on the 23rd. We're mandating that we both drink at least an hour before we start recording, and we're going to have a surprise guest from calling in from Soldier Field.
Yeah, we do have to get a little segment name for him coming on.
Yeah, like, we got to workshop
something with hair.
Something with hair.
We gotta do. I'll ask him for a hair tip. I don't have as long of a hair that I did earlier on in the year, but maybe you can help me out.
That's all we have for this week. If you like what you heard, hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podcaster, Pocket Casts, they're all over the place. And if you want to reach out to us, email us at livetograsp@gmail.com. We'll respond to anything. Actually, speaking of which, we had a Redditor leave some comments, and I think Mike had something to say.
Yeah, to prove that we are actually reading comments, I did want to state that if people think that we need to act more like certain ESPN commentators, like Stephen A. Or I'm trying to think of some other guys on there, that I think Tyrion Lannister said it best. You've come to the wrong place. I'm not going to act like that. if you want actual hard good stuff here as far as details go, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, hold on. You're the details guy?
I'm just not acting.
Okay. All right, that's all we have this week from Mike Details Refo and Brian Naylor. Take care, guys.
I drink and know things.